The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
What's up, guys? It's the phenomenal AJ Styles. You're listening to the two-man power trip.
Hey, Johnny. Cool, man. What's going on? We ready to go or what?
Welcome to the two-man power trip of wrestling. I am your host, JP John Paz, and with me today is an absolute wrestling legend. He's a wrestler, a manager, a commentator, a former NWA Western States champion. You may know him from WWE over 10 years there, even more than that, AEW or even AAA. He is Mr. Hugo Savinovich. Hugo, how are you doing today, sir?
Ah, Tangana, ahí está Rey Misterio, lanza la cuerda a John Cena, viene la catapulta, la cuerda del árbitro, uno, dos, por poquito.
That is
my world of calling lucha in Spanish, 17 years with WWE, 15 years producing and being the guy in Lucha Libre in Puerto Rico and the Caribbean, and then did Lucha Underground first season. Opened up IWA in Puerto Rico also, and Imperial Lucha in Peru, War in Ecuador, and starting April, GWE in Panama with TV, part of the creative team with Conan as our boss in AAA, and just did the Triple Mania 28, our last show, and now we're doing some more stuff coming up this Thursday on in Mexico. And after surviving the storm in New York, here we are.
Nice. Love it. And obviously, you've had such a great storied career. And obviously, Mid-South, you know, the Western States, down in Amarillo, you've been there, you know, you've done it all.
Yes. And during the times where there was not that much politically correctness, so wrestling was like a cowboy movie town. It was like wild stuff that you could do and the dream matches that you could see and the beginning of legendary names like Ted DiBiase, Paul Orndorff, the Freebirds, Junkyard Dog, and, you know, just tons of guys that were beginning to really click it in Mid-South sports and Texas. And we did some events combined with the Von Erichs out of also the world class. So did all of that. And it was just like a different era. And sometimes it brings you like nostalgia about it, but you know that things do change. And you just hope that even though we're changing, that we could still sustain, you know, a good quality product. That's my main worry.
And your good old buddy, Jake the Snake Roberts. Can't forget him. Old buddy.
Jake the Snake was young as I was, but we were crazy back then. And then we met later on when we were both doing drugs and we were crazier. And so I worked with him in the ring. And I could honestly tell you that back then, I didn't even know how the heck we got into the ring and how we got out of the ring. But somehow we managed to do that. And it was just those crazy, crazy, crazy years.
Now, as far as AAA right now, what are you doing with them? Because I always see Dorian all over the news all the time. He's doing stuff with Marvel. He's doing stuff with, like, Weight Watchers and then, like, all these other, like, just random stuff that he's, you know, he's got his hand in. So what's going on with AAA?
Yes, the deal with Marvel people and Disney, with their Lucha superheroes, today he just announced a deal with the Mexico Tourist Department, which wrestling it's going to be showcasing. The, what they call their beautiful, like, dream towns, those picturesque towns that that hopefully after this coronavirus thing will help to showcase their beautiful towns all over the Mexico country. It's a country, you know, huge, so big, just time zones just like in the States. And if you count what used to be Mexico before, you know, California, Texas, and all that other area, a nation of over 200 million people were Lucha. It's after soccer, second sport. It's the wrestling. It's on. It's part of their culture. Has accepted it as part of their heritage. So Lucha, it's big there. And Dorian, on top of everything, with the mother, Licenciada Maricela, she's our president, and just doing some good stuff. We came out very, very happy with the Triple Mania 28. Kenny Omega defending the Mega World Championship of AAA against Laredo Kid, and then the main event, Hair versus Hair, Pagano against Chessman, and that was the match where I got hit with a guitar, and we were trending number one in Mexico and then trending everywhere else. So we actually, I believe we produced a better show than WrestleMania. I think the fans voted the AEW pay-per-view, what's the name of that, Gear or something, that's number one. And then Royal Rumble number two, and then came Triple Mania 28, and then was WrestleMania. So I think we're on the right track to improve. I think we're creating more of a new hybrid of the Lucha, of the culture of Mexico, with brand new stars and just more like a mix of strong style, more false finishes, more legit punching, and more Logic and Conan, and you know, I'm part of the team, just bringing it more direct storylines to the fans and creating new stars. So I think we are on the right track.
It's so interesting with that, because it's one of those things where it's like, oh, AAA, and especially Conan, is always evolving and always kind of ahead of the curve almost, always knows the next talent. You know, years and years ago, he knew Mysterio and Juventud and Psychos, yeah, and all those guys are going to be great. Now he found Rey Fenix and Pentagon. You know what I mean? He's yeah. Laredo Kid, he's continuing with all these great talents.
Yeah, you know, the tragic death of La Parca, we were so much in pain with that. He has a son that works under a mask, another name that is like the Mummy, but he will be debuting, taking over the name of his father, La Parca.
Wow, and nice.
But Conan and Dorian believe that he's ready. But he is a good worker, very tall, and such a, you know, I look at him and I know we got to do the right thing with the tradition of the name. But then the kid is such a nice-looking kid, you know, handsome and tall, and, you know, like you hate in a way to put the mask on him because
he
kind of looks like a Hollywood star. So, you know, that's something to think way ahead in the future. But the mask will come in, and then you have another legendary hero. And then I just did a live with Blue Demon, and he's going to be more in the picture. And, you know, the Demon is debuting with Disney on his own Ultraviolet and Blue Demon series on, with the Disney franchise. So a lot of things are happening. Conan and Dorian and our team are creating two young girls that are going to be the high flyers. It's never been done with girls. One of them is Hades, and the other one yet to be named, but we have them. And these are going to be high impact, high flyers, beautiful lady wrestlers, and you know, the luchadoras, they could kick ass. They know all the wrestling holes. They could go punch for punch with the guys, and that's what we're bringing in. And we got some top names and top young stars coming up. So it's very interesting what it's developing with AAA, and just the freedom. You know, it's not like a yes man mentality where everybody has to say yes to everything. You know, we are like an open society of ideas, and yes, we do have a boss, and we have a chief creative guy with Conan, and we do respect authority, but there's more leeway to let's challenge the system.
As far as AAA and America, I know there's kind of like a deal with AEW, but does AAA want to kind of expand more into the USA? Is that kind of the grand plan?
Yes, I believe that when given an opportunity, and we proved that we do good on, we are on Space TV, which is like an HBO in Latin America, owned by Turner Broadcasting System, by the way, and now AEW is also on Space TV. And it's huge in Latin America and obviously in Mexico. So we have our shows there. And with little time on Space TV, we went to Bogota, Colombia, which is not like a wrestling market. And we did a little bit over 8,000 people. And then as soon as we did that, then Vince and his guys were there like 4 months after. So South America, it's going to be a big place for AAA. I believe the rest of Central America. But not just the United States. I believe that our product with our ideas and the stars that we have, it's just like the name says, you know, worldwide, AAA worldwide, with things that make sense, action that translates languages, and the magic of the luchadores will be the essence, you know, of course. But I think that with this era of the Facebooks and the YouTubes and all these TV deals that are going to be dealt and not just the regular TV, but the media things that are there. There's so many things out there that you not necessarily have to be on a TV network per se, but you could be, you know, doing other things in places where that platform in that country is huge. So there's people that are wanting to make deals with AAA, and I think that we transcend the languages. But if you did check Triple Mania, you would have noticed that I will sneak in a little bit of English. Boom, boom, boom. We'll do the Spanish, Guillen and myself, but boom, hit like 15 seconds in English every now and then. So we are putting in that English there too.
Love it. And I know Dorian's got a deal with a New York advertising agency, right? So he's definitely looking to, you know, do some stuff and really, you know, hit it big.
Yes. If you see our shows, everybody enjoys it. We have, once the kids and the teenagers check our product, it's not a dull moment. And the characters are so, you know, so much alive. And then the girls with the mask, they're like female superheroes. And then you have all this action that normally you will see kids in a lot of places, their parents are watching a baseball game and the kids are into their cell phone with other video games. But in our lucha events, the kids are taking pictures or videos of the wrestlers and they're getting into the storyline. And the kids, you see the kids, the teenage brothers and sisters, and then you see the elder brothers and sisters, and then the parents, and you see the grandparents. So it's like a whole family thing, and everybody enjoys it. And that's what I would love to do with with Conan and Dorian and the AAA family. I love to get that into United States and worldwide. Get the whole family into a show where everybody has fun because you don't get bored.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, are you still working with AEW? Is that a kind of full-time thing or not really working with them as much?
No, AEW, it's like we have an alliance, and if Tony Khan wants me or Cody, they will talk to Dorian. And I was told that I was going to be on their first pay-per-view on a live interview with Cody in the ring in AAA. Did not even know that he had already spoken to my boss, and he just said, I want to invite you to do our event. And love Cody because I was a very good friend with his father, his brother. So I like him, but you know, it's up to them to decide what they want to do. Because right now, like their Spanish is really really bad, and they have such a good product, but you need a good play by play. Even in English, they're not letting. It's like a new time in the mind of promoters and producers, and they want to modernize so much that they're taking the fun out of the call and not even Jim Ross is Jim Ross, and I'm begging for them to let JR be JR, because that was the passion of the WWF era, with Jim Ross calling those legendary matches. So you got to let him do Jim Ross and let the other people, Shabani and other people, do the selling of whatever TNT has, a movie or other stuff or other shows. Let Jim be Jim, and let the Spanish people have good play-by-play announcers on AEW, which is not happening. And finally, WWE has the two announcers back. For a while, it was just one guy doing it, and now at least they have Carlos and Marcelo. So right now, things are a little bit better in WWE.
Yeah, your old buddy, right, Carlos Cabrera? You were many years your partner.
The best voice Jim Ross said about Carlos Cabrera. In Spanish, we call him Carlos La Voz Cabrera, Carlito La Voz Cabrera. And that's why my call is Dímelo Carlitos. So he's got that, those pipes. And Jim Ross said, if I only had that voice, what would I have done? And that's what Jim Ross said about Carlos' voice.
Nice. How did you actually, kind of even going back to WWE, how did you actually get in the door to WWE to have that 17-year run? Like, how did you get in initially?
When Vince Jr. started taking over, back then he wanted me in, but I was doing so much money in the Caribbean and was very happy. I was doing English shows, Spanish shows, and making a lot of money. And we had some of the top shows in wrestling. You know, everybody with the exception of Hulk Hogan, we were there. We made stars like legendary Muta. He was a young super black ninja in Puerto Rico. Cowboy Scott Hall later was Razor Ramon. He was Cowboy Scott Hall there. So we built stars. We had the bloodiest matches in the world of wrestling, and we did English and Spanish shows. So everything was fine. Vince wanted me to go and work for him, but I was happy making money there. I also did concerts for the Bacardi people there. So I was making TV shows. I was a guest on a Telemundo variety show, and then I hosted a variety show. So I was making money left and right, and did not feel like that was the what I wanted to do, because I had already done my wrestling career driving all over the place, you know, Texas, Louisiana. So I did my traveling already. So I was not really interested back then. And I married Wendy, who was Vince Jr.'s champion. Wendy Richter, part of the Hall of Fame, and she was the champion. It was the Hulkamania, the Rock and Wrestling Connection back then with MTV. And I said to Vince Jr., I don't think it's a good deal if my wife and I work with you. And look at how I was like almost prophetic, because I said, if you get upset with either of us, you'll fire the two of us, you know. And then you know that even though people think that the Montreal screw job was the first screw job, the real one was in Madison Square Garden. The referee was Jack Lotz, and it was Moolah under the mask of the Spider-Woman. And they did the screw job to take the championship away from Wendy, as Wendy was unhappy with the deal that Vince was giving her and not fulfilling a deal that they had worked on. And I decided before that incident that it was not wise. And then that happened. It proved me right. So years went by. And then one day in Germany, Sabio Vega and Bret Hart are talking. And Sabio said, Hugo's not working with Carlos Colon anymore. They are not paying him. They owe him money. And he's got his own bar. And it's a lot of stuff crazy happening with him. And, you know, let's talk to Vince. And Bret and Sabio talked to Vince. And then he called me. And I came over to his mansion. Back then I had the long hair, like the gladiators, Roman earrings with diamonds. I had another one sticking out here, a star with like two muscles, and all the gold chains and the long hair. And Marco, his driver, picked me up at the airport, took me to his mansion, and Bruce Prichard was there. I shook hands with Vince, and I did a gently shake. He said, "Oh, you squeeze it," Vince told me. And we sat down and we did a handshake. He said, "Stay here for a month and let's see if we like each other. We work together." And that's what we did. And my first year was not an on-air talent. I was creative. The whole team was Vince McMahon. Main writers were Bruce Prichard and Pat Patterson. And I was the third guy. And then later, Jerry Briscoe came up. That was the whole creative team.
Did you come up with any angles that you can remember from back then?
Yeah, it was a whole team effort of many at the time. There was Tatanka, it was Lex Luger. Yeah, it was many storylines. It was never like a one guy combination. It was a team effort. Somebody came up with a concept of an idea, and then we expanded, and then we worked on that, and then Vince sat down with us, and maybe we had worked 2 weeks on an idea, and he went and did. It's over. Goodbye, adios to the idea. And those were the times that storylines meant something. It was like a baby, you know. You gave birth to it and you took care of it and made it grow. Now it's like, let's just do it. 50 minutes before the show, we'll tear everything up and just do it again. And you know, things were done with more passion. And it was more of the Vince McMahon family than now WWE Corporation.
What was it like working under Vince? Is he nutty, crazy, or is he much more sane than, you know, that's out there, the rumors? Like, oh, he could be so crazy on a whim. You know, you kind of said he could rip something up. Like, they're saying, like, he'll just nick something and switch something. Like, for instance, what just happened on TV with Goldberg against Orton changed to McIntyre, like that whole thing. Is it, like, crazy he just changes on a dime and just thinks of a new idea?
He goes by his instinct. He made billions living like that. And sometimes he has that gut feeling to do that. But I think that the whole problem is that WWE became such a successful, gigantic monster that even Vince cannot control it anymore. It is so huge that WWE don't have to fear any competition but itself. It is so huge that when you create weekly shows and you have so many responsibilities at a time, he's got so many other things that he's doing, and then you know that he did that stuff with the XFL that was close to a billion dollars, you know. So it's a lot of pain, and then even if you don't want to admit it, it sets up frustration. And for a creative mind, frustration will get you in a position where it's like one of those writers that gets mental block for a while, that you could be in a beautiful villa to write this, the book of your life, and yet no ideas come. I think that Vince has been through so much stuff, and then the dream of creating that football league didn't happen, and twice, and just so much responsibility that I think it's taking its toll, and that's the pressure. But he could be crazy, yet he is a guy that doesn't really rest. Maybe he sleeps like 3 or 4 hours a day. He's not a bad person. He's opposite to what many people describe him to be. He's brilliant, but that's the case with many brilliant people. Sometimes he could get you in trouble, because if you've done, you could have a brilliant idea, but it might not necessarily work for that situation, and you gotta be checking out what the market tells you. And right now, that's the problem. You got the USA market with this huge $1 billion contract with the networks for 5 years, but then that's just part of this world, because WWE is the whole world. So you gotta please a lot of tough customers, and it's very, very hard. But I maybe I'm a dreamer, but I still believe that he has like a great fighter. He still has that one more round for another good run of the company before. People say that he's not going to let it go, but I think that he still has time for a big comeback and let it go high again on the creative standard again, which the creative standard is way down. And I think that he could still do it. But he's brilliant. He's not a bad person. He's a very nice guy. And I believe that one day we will really know more of the goodness of him than the stories that talk bad about him.
I gotcha. And it seems like, you know, you were kind of on the cutting edge, or you got a story that a lot of people didn't get when that Saudi Arabia thing happened with WWE. And like, you were the one to kind of break that story. And a few people were like, no, it's not true. And WWE said it wasn't true, but it came out. It was true. And about the kind of them being held hostage for a little bit over there in Saudi Arabia.
And what the whole problem was that they finally had to do a settlement of $39 million. Their main lawyer wanted to destroy my reputation, saying that all I wanted to do was get hits from the people. And my page, I do have over, Lucha Libre Online, we have between Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and Instagram, we have like over 1,100,000 followers, and we have a reach of sometimes like 13 million in a period of time. And but we don't draw you in, so when you hit, we get money. We are into the business of creating this atmosphere of wrestling. And yes, as any other people that produces content for, you know, this communication sites, we do see the bigger picture of where we're going. But at the time, it was not like the lawyer described it, and he said this and he said that. And I said, this came from WWE. And then as some of the wrestlers and their wives were talking and all that, you know, and I just said, right now, if you really look at it, it's not like that country has a big reputation of honesty, and they had gone through that murder of its own citizen in the embassy in Turkey. And I said, I don't know if this will stand in a court case, because you know, in a kingdom, if the king says that the sky is red, you're gonna have to say the sky is red. So my whole point was, I didn't invent it. That's what I was told, and I was not using this to get any money. I did not charge anybody any money to do interviews, or so to me it was a very they hurt my feelings, because I was going through depression and anxiety. I had lost my wife and I was under treatment. So for me to do something like that with people that I really love, because they were my family for over 17 years, that is not me. And, you know, every time they try to say that I'm wrong, I prove them wrong. And finally, they settled a deal for $39 million, and that's it.
Yeah, you got proven right. I mean, obviously, you know, the deal went down, and that whole lawsuit went down with those Oklahoma firefighters. Yeah, they were proven, or you were proven absolutely correct.
And like I said, I stand by that it was information that was given to me from WWE sources, and also from a friend of many years from that country that I helped many years before. And, you know, then the story, besides that story, and the most important part is that I am a pastor, you know, I'm an evangelist. So to me, my work means a lot, because, you know, I have my kids all over the place, orphanages, all that. And that's what I teach them. I'm also the main sponsor for the female prisoners, international prisoners in the city of Panama, in the Republic of Panama. So to me, you know, my word means a lot, because this is what I tell them, that you could fall and get up. I was a drug addict, an alcoholic, and, you know, I've been shot, I've been stabbed, and I recovered by the grace and mercy of God. And I'm not going to, for one stupid like on Facebook, I'm not going to destroy that. You know, there's more important things that I need to do than lie about something. So to me, that was very hurtful, and plus the fact that it just showed that that lawyer didn't care that I was going through depression and anxiety because of the loss of my wife. So it was, you know, it was something really very serious for me. Mentally, I had to really hold on, because I could not believe that they were trying to destroy my reputation, because it was just something that it was told to me, not that I invented it.
Right. Absolutely. Now, just switching gears here, just to stay on WWF, always kind of was wondering this. When Mick Foley and Undertaker in King of the Ring 1998 are on the top of the cell, do you have any idea that Foley is about to come crashing down, or you have no idea that that's about to happen?
Yeah, we had an idea, but sometimes you may have an idea, but to actually see it happen, I think that Mick Foley had an idea of what was going to happen, but what actually happened, I think there's two things that are different in this world. You might have an idea, And that idea, when it becomes a reality, it might change your whole world. And that's what really happened. He came in at such a velocity. If he was a plane, it was a plane that would have no survivors. And I heard like when you have a vacuum and he fell on the table, which the table, you know, the Spanish table is like, there's not that much room to begin with. And then the velocity that he hit, it was like you could hear like in a vacuum, like the sound of, like, I didn't know that if he was going to get up. And then, of course, we found out about the ribs and then the tooth that came out through the lips. Today, that would have never, I mean, the doctors and would have never let it continue, but those were different, a different era, and he risked his life. And the people that know him know that his body is just the testimony of the pain that he went through to create those moments, those magic moments for the fans. He paid a heavy price.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And you took a tiny little bump as well off that chair, if you remember.
Yes. But it was nothing like compared to what was happening there.
Oh, yeah.
Because as you are part of it, you look at his eyes and they're almost like back there and you know, like, wow, what the heck is happening? And then when that little door collapses and that wasn't supposed to happen either, so there was just so many things that it was just a matter of inches that Undertaker could have gone through with Mankind through that little door that came down, and just who knows what could have happened, you know. So this is the crazy world that Mick Foley wanted to do, and he was conscious that he could not have like a classic match like a Shawn Michaels or Undertaker or Flair or somebody like that, but he told the Undertaker, we could do history together. But if you ever have a chance to just study where he had to be thrown and the little Spanish table where he had to land, it was crazy.
Yeah, oh my, and he's a big boy. I mean, 6'4", yeah. 285, maybe even more than that. I mean, he's huge. So,
yes.
Yeah. Crazy and the velocity going down. Also, another great moment for you, WrestleMania 19, Hogan and Vince McMahon, right? You took a nice little chair shot.
Today, even now that we've gone through January and started February, I'm still at a supermarket or in a plane. And even with the coronavirus, that you got the mask, everything, people still like recognize you, and you think they're going to talk to you about something recent, and then they go back to WrestleMania 19. How was that? The chair, you know, you say, man, we are in 2021, and yet they still remember. And that just goes to showcase how important it is to create those moments, that magic that make the fans love our industry. And that's what we really need. We need to bring our fans back with good common sense storylines and the passion. I think we're lacking passion. It's not the boys or the girls' fault. It's the creative people and the owners, basically owners and creative people, because we have a more sophisticated clientele or fans or customers. And I don't think that we treat them like grown-ups. We treat them like little kids, and they get fed up with it. And WrestleMania 19, that chair shot, that was like the reality of two guys that were really good friends, not just the creator of Hulkamania and his creation, the Hulkster. It was from the pages of real life where they became enemies, and Hulk Hogan testified against Vince in federal court. And now this is brought into the world of wrestling. And now the creator and the creation are going to go to fight in WrestleMania, and there's blood coming out, and there's Hulk Hogan, and there's Vince bleeding, and there's that big heavy chair, not the little chair, the big heavy chair, the big python arms of Hulk Hogan, and he gets that chair, and Stone Cold later tells me he's with Booker T, and he's saying to Booker T, he was in the way! He was in the way! And nobody knew. It was just like one of those things that happened, those secrets that are later revealed, and then boom, Hogan hits me, but the hands don't come up, and you see the chair really goes right through my head, and if you are in the back, you see that the Hulkster has knocked out one of the Spanish announcers. The hands didn't go up. There was nothing blocking the head, and Hulk Hogan made a believer out of Hugo Sabinovich that he was Hulk Hogan, and Hugo was old school, never put the hands up, and he let me have it, and the rest is history.
Whose idea is that? Is that the Hulkster's idea, your idea, Vince's idea?
It was a top secret idea, and it was Vince's idea.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. Now, as we head towards the finish here, head towards the wind down, what can we kind of look forward to as far as yourself and maybe AAA going forward?
With the characters of Marvel and Disney, and with this deal that Dorian just announced today with the tourism of Mexico, we're going to be able to hopefully we'll get this coronavirus out of the way and we'll get fans into the arenas. But right now, we'll have Lucha in some of the more exotic places of this picture-perfect little towns of Mexico, and the ring and the action is going to be hot, and you're going to have the best play-by-play in Spanish, and new stars are going to be rising, and top names like Kenny Omega and the Marvel stars from Disney are going to be participating, and you're going to see two beautiful young Mexican luchadores, you know, high flyers take over the wrestling world. And in a few months, perhaps La Parca's son will take over the name, and we'll get to see some beautiful things of this superhero now of the Disney company, Blue Demon, be part of our rivalries, and top storylines emerge, and a lot of craziness and just a lot of freedom. And no boring times, just a hybrid of strong style, good punching, false finishes, good submission holds, and just beautiful, passionate talent. Perhaps this coronavirus will leave us alone and we'll get to do this, not just in Mexico, but in other places. So that's more or less what is happening.
Nice. And as far as like your reporting and stuff, where can everybody kind of find you and see what you're up to in your journalism stuff?
Yeah, we do a Lucha Libre online whenever there's Raw, right after there's reports, also with SmackDown and the Wednesday night wrestling wars. And whenever something happens, either our lawyer, Michael Morales Torres, or myself, we go live. And if I'm in Mexico, I will be doing stuff from there. And I have a segment that usually comes out before Raw on Monday, but it could be on a Friday. It's called No Censorship. We have had LA Park on it. We had one of the Lucha Brothers, Penta Cero Miedo, on it. We just had the legendary Blue Demon. And they're the fans. It's live. The fans get to answer the questions, and we don't block questions. We dare to ask the questions, and we don't cover for no company. And that is also a segment that people like, and we keep it real. And whenever something happens on Royal Rumble or big shows, fans get to put what they feel, and we read it, good or bad, we read it. And when there's English questions, we answer in English too. And we're very passionate. We love what we do. And when you invited us, I said, hey, let's do it. And I could have said, hey, I'm just had a crazy day. I don't have the time or whatever. But, you know, if you love what we do, we got to respect you. And that's why it was a pleasure being with you.
Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it. Now, please give us all your social media plugs where everybody can kind of find you where you're out there.
Facebook is Lucha Libre Online, as is YouTube, Lucha Libre Online. and Instagram. Those are our main gigs. And you will always see some of the top reporting. And we have not just Spanish interviews. Recently we have the announcer from UFC. He does a series of interviews with us. Charlotte was with us. We have Drew. You name it. The Bushwhackers. Whoever you know might show up and do English interviews on Lucha Libre Online. And our main thing is to keep it real. And we don't let nobody control us. We want to be a place where it could be a forum for the people to express their ideas, their feelings. And we respect the fans, and we respect our boys and girls of the dangerous and the spectacular world of wrestling.
Awesome stuff. Hugo, thank you so much for all the time tonight. I know you're super busy and you got a place to go and you got to go down to Mexico for AAA. So I really appreciate all the time you gave me tonight. Thank you so much.
Just in a few hours. And thank you very much for taking care of our wrestling fans and following the passion of our business. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. Have a great one. Thank you, Mr. Stefanovic.
Ah, tangana.
This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother.